Zeh Inyan Ravi. What's Inyan Ravi?
Fourth Inyan.
Of what? What were the first three?
Navi, Shas.
What?
No, the Ravi from last time. Drusho Chain Ruya Lufi Inyan Kopar Shinadan Liot Bojash. Is it going off that?
Oh, Zeh Inyan Ravi. Yes, you're right. Very good, Ravi. 2 points for Ravi. Drusho Chain Ruyos. Drusho, at least you're in a better mood than before, so we're happy about that. Hi, Ravi. I said, at least you're in a better mood than before. When you and Matt came in, you guys were not happy. You guys came in.
Negative one.
But you guys were also pulling shots at each other. The French guys, and you guys are pulling shots at each other. Okay, we're in.
What did I say?
It's okay. It's okay.
Did I make one comment? What comment did I say?
Don't worry about it.
But
the yeah, I didn't get that. The ones making fun of us.
Okay, trying to start.
We're trying to learn here. Okay. So we talked about. Let's begin again.
We don't
want to
shut up. It's
Revelation.
We're
going to
start.
We said that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Excuse me, Rav Ashi. We're talking about Rav Ashi, right?
Yeah.
Rav Ashi had four things in mind. So the fourth one was that he brought drashos that were related to what was ever going on in the Gemara. Right? Rav Ashi in the Gemara, he passed up certain things, he brought the svaras behind things in the Mishnah. And one of the fourth thing that we said that Rav Ashi did in the Gemara was that he brought drashos. You're like freaking out here. Don't worry, we're picking up from a new piece here. V'zeh inyan harvi, he's like looking back, keeps looking back over the pages. V'zeh inyan harvi, rotzalomar hadrash hanimtza b'talmud, ein roi lachshov shemaloso me'ata, v'to'alto chseira. Don't think that the maila of the drashos is very little, or that its advantages are little. Aval yesh bo tvuna gedola, mipnei shehu kolel chidos plios v'chamudos niflaos. There's very deep things there. Ki adrashos ahen, kishi yistaklu bahen, histaklus sichlis, if you analyze them, yuvan behem me'atov ha'miti mash'en l'mala mimeno. They'll teach you things that you wouldn't believe.
This is a Galatah.
He's talking about a Galatah. V'yigal mehem inyonim he'elohim v'amitus ha'davar mashay anshay chachma alimim oso v'lo ratzu l'galoso. There are going to be things here. It's going to be philosophic truths. They're going to be theological truths. There'll be divine knowledge that the anshay chachma, chazal, hid it. They didn't want to write it explicitly. And therefore they hid it in Agadatos. If you read it just straight up, it's going to sound like very fanciful, unbelievable, meaning from the word un-believable, things that you cannot believe, things that don't make any sense. And there are two reasons why they did this. Reason number one, ha'echad mehem, Lil Tosh Rayonea Talmidim Lulabe Vlibosam. Lil Tosh means to sharpen, like how you sharpen or you polish. To polish or to sharpen the minds of the Talmidim and to, you know, Lubabe Vlibosam, to make their minds bigger and greater. Now, the first reason why they taught these things was it's like Chidot. And puzzles, things that would increase intelligence. Viod, kedela aver ene haksilim shlo yashiru libosam liolam, and also to hide it from the fools who would not understand the material properly. So the Rambam here is telling us that Agadot and Gemaras are not literal, many of them, but rather that they contain within them very deep secrets, but they are hidden in the parables and the stories of the Agadotos. In fact, the Maharal of Prague, in most of his Sfarim, what he basically does is he goes through Mamari Chazal and he gives you the depth of what they're about. So, for instance, when the Gemara talks about a deer carrying a package on its back, so the Maharal in his Sfarim will tell you a deer represents this, a package represents this, being on the back represents this, and there's a teaching there. It's not literal.
How do they come up with these things? These random cases and stories that are like all hypothetical.
Well, they created mishalim. They're like mishalim to teach other things. If you would teach these fools the truth, they're not ready. They can't handle the truth. Because of their lack of preparation or knowledge. And it's about people like this that we say that you can't teach them secrets. They're not ready to handle it. Even the Chachamim didn't want to teach all of the secrets one to another. We even know the story, the Gemara in Chagigah tells us, about how one of the Chachamim tried to learn some of the secrets of Maisa Bereishis. And he was already knowledgeable of Maisa Merkava, but he didn't know Maisa Bereishis. So he said, if you guys teach me, I'll trade you. You teach me Maisa Bereishis, I'll teach you Maisa Merkava. And they said, good. They taught him Maisa Bereishis. And then he reneged on the deal. So they taught him Maisa Bereishis and he didn't teach him Maisa Merkava. V'chas v'shalom sh'asam in ro'a liv. It wasn't because he was like a trickster. He was trying to do it l'noa chachma because he didn't want people to know. Obishvil shielo yisar n'alem, and certainly not because he wanted to be greater than them. Shamido se'ela migunos achaz atipshim, because if that was his attitude, if he was really just tricking them, or if he really just wanted to be no more than them, that's something that foolish people do. That's a horrible trait. Kal v'chomer be'elu achasidim anechbadim, certainly these great rabbanim that we're talking about aren't going to do that. But he did a pure, cold, calculated analysis and determined that he was right to know what they knew, but they were not right to know what he knew.
What was
Maisa Merkava? So Maisa Merkava and Maisa Bereishis, let's say, for simplicity's sake, you take a look at the Rav Menachos of the Torah, the first four prakim, he tells you what Maisa Bereishis and Maisa Merkava is, but let's say, for simplicity's sake, Maisa Bereishis means all the secrets of the creation of the world. And Maisa Merkava is all about the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, his Merkava, his chariot. Like Yechezkel, Yirmiyahu, they describe the Merkava, what Hashem's heavenly chariot is about. So, Aval also the Rishul, okay, good. Vehebi Raya Alinyan Zelif, the Rishlomo, famous drasha. Tavash V'cholav Tachas L'shonech, you should take honey and milk, and it should be under your tongue. Upersho aleim aloh shalom. And Chazal teach us shinin davar zeh that the chachmos hamisukos shanefesh tin amehem, things that are very very sweet. Kumoshi naim achech bidvash v'chalav, just like honey and milk. Honey and milk are very sweet to the lips or to the palate, whatever. So it says you should keep the honey under your tongue. It means that you should keep the sweet Torah, the one that really is sweet to your neshama, the deepest secret teachings, those you should keep them hidden. Keep them under your tongue. Don't reveal them. The tongue is the manner of speech. Keeping under the tongue means to hide it. And this is what it says, Tachas L'shonech, She'inyonim Einam Mima Sharoi L'lamid L'horos Bam B'yeshivos HaChachma. You're not supposed to sit and teach them publicly. V'ulam Yirmizu Mehem because of Rak Ramazim Ne'lamim, but you're allowed to hint to them. U'kishi Yigala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mas Ve'asichlus Milev Mish Yirtzeh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove the mask of foolishness from that he that Hashem wants to remove it from. Right? Interesting idea here. Secret teachings, Kabbalah, whatever, mysticism, all these deeper teachings. So, the philosophic teachings, they can be hinted to. The one that Hashem wants to understand, Hashem will give him siyata d'shmaya, that he'll understand it. And the one that he doesn't want to, he won't. But there's a prerequisite. You have to also be trained in these areas. So the Rambam seems to say there's a two-part punch. On the one hand, you have to contribute by trying to study as much as you can and being knowledgeable in these areas. Asher yiga v'yargil b'chachmos. But then Hashem will be megale to you, to he who he wants. Sod Hashem l'rayov. Oz yavin mehem k'fi sichla. Then you'll understand it. You could be pessimistic or critical or, what's Descartes? Skeptical. You could be skeptical of what I'll say, but I find oftentimes when I'm learning a sugya, I read through it once, I don't really understand it, I read through it again, I read through it a third time, I read through it a fourth time, all of a sudden it just clicks. So, I don't know if that's Hashem helping me. I don't know if that's just that's the mind, the way the mind works. Sometimes there are words, I don't even know what they mean. And I read them a few times, and then all of a sudden I just figure out what they mean. I don't know how that works, because like, I don't know the word. So I don't know if I've read it sometime, and it's really, really far back in my brain somewhere. And if I read it enough times, like eventually it like, you know, my brain's not so fast, so it takes a little while to like move to the front. But eventually I read it enough times, it moves to the front. I don't know if that's the pshat. I don't know if it's, you know, you're getting like a little message from the Lord. I don't know what it is, but try it. Sometimes, instead of like running to the art scroll, try a bunch of times reading it a few times, somehow it clicks. At least you think it clicks. So the Rambam here says you have to train yourself. And you have to be zocha to siyat d'shmaya. And now look at what the Rambam says. You know, we don't give the Rambam... We all think of the Rambam, he's like this intellectual, he has no like spiritual side. It's ridiculous. He's one of the greatest Rishonim. So look what he says here. You know, and when Rambam was like Mr. Intellectual, right? Look what he says. When it comes to pursuit of chachma, the only real recourse that you have is lazo v'nyanav biyad habore, to just throw your hope on Hashem, ulispalalav, and pray. If I asked you, it's because we've skewed our view of the Rambam. How would the Rambam tell you to learn a sugya? Would he tell you to sit and daven that you should get pshat? Or, you know, what's the line from Chumash? What's the line from this week's parsha? Vishalach, next week, Parshalach. Vayiso. No, that's slipping my mind. You know what? No. Hashem says, Matzitzak alai. You know what? What are you calling out to me for? What was that? What are you davening for? Go, do something. You got to do some ishtadlus. So, but the Rambam here says, you want to understand Torah more? Put your hope and faith in God. That He should give you insight. Daven to Hashem that He should reveal to you the secrets and the depth of the sugya. Kimosha Matano Bedavid, Allah Bashalom, also came. But Omro, Gal Einai the Abita Niflos Mitorasecha. Open up my eyes and let me see the depths of your Torah. Ukashi Galakar Shabarkas Einai Adam Yeraloma Shehere. And if Hashem does this for you and you see the truth, you sort of get the feeling that like the Rambam, this happened to the Rambam. And if Hashem does this to you, Roilo Ligunzam. You should hide them. Look what I wrote on the side of my page. On the bottom. What I write?
Rambam no Kabbalah.
Did the Rambam no Kabbalah, right? The Rambam here writes, if you get these secrets, don't let anyone know. I remember...
We'll never know Rambam.
I remember...
Well, that's why you probably knew. You hid them.
So, right, someone once... I was once talking to someone about... I was asking someone about if someone was a Kabbalist, and you know, is this type of person you can trust? So, the person who I spoke to said... Big person said, I think it was Rabelsky, said, people who know don't say, and people who say don't know. Right? People who say, like, what? People who say, like, oh, you know, I'll tell you why. You know, like when people say, like, I'll tell you why this happened. Or, you know, next year Mashiach's going to come. So anyone who says these types of things doesn't really know. Because anyone who really knows, it wasn't going to say. Exactly. No, they say like about you know like Revel Yashiv. Revel Yashiv, Revel Yashiv's grandfather was the greatest Kabbalist of his door. So you have to assume that Revel Yashiv was steeped in Kabbalah. But nobody ever saw him learning Kabbalah. You know, when Rav Moshe Shapiro used to give Shirim, at first, Rav Shach, I don't even know the details of the story. It's like one of these like apocryphal stories that people, you know, talk about, hack about. When Rav Moshe Shapiro started giving his shurim, which is like deep machshava Kabbalah on the parsha, they said that Rav Shach called him down to Panovich and told him, like, we don't talk that way. And Moshe Shapiro is starting to say, no, it's for Bali Tshuva, I'm trying to inspire people, it's a different door. And they're like a machlokas about whether it was the...
How does anyone teach Kabbalah?
So, you teach it to one person. You don't teach it in shiur.
There's a shiur on Kabbalah than that person.
The Kabbalah was never given in shiur.
The Kabbalah.
Section. It was taught, you know, one person taught to another person in Ramazim, and they had to figure things out, and they would come back, and they would, you know, is this right? And the Rebbe would say, yeah, the right track. You know, it was a real guarded. And now, you know, everyone like just, you know, says whatever they want, and then so that's what the Rambam here says. If you know it, keep it to yourself. Vim yirmos behem. And if you do know something and you want to teach someone, only teach it to a person that you know is completely seichel shalim. Gemara is always filled with this. I mean, it's an explicit mission in Chagiga that there's certain things you're only megalim to one person, two people, different. You're only doresh and arayos with in front of a certain number of people. You only teach someone who's bigger than you or someone who's like you. Even if he doesn't make fun of it, it's not really going to sit with him. Don't speak in the ears of a fool because he will disgrace or not appreciate the wisdom of your words. Certainly, if you're teaching this publicly, it's got to be done with hints. You have to be able to teach it in a way that people will hear it and say, like, okay, I don't really understand what he's talking about. When they get older and they develop their minds more, and they look back and they go, oh, now I understand what so-and-so meant when he said that. Very beginning of Mishlei, he says, I'm going to be teaching lots of Mishlei teachings, proverbs. It will be for this purpose. To try to reveal to you a little bit of the secrets of the Chachamim. The Chidos. The When they elu asibo sidra chachamim alei mashalim devrayim bidrashos al inyan shachiku seichel aksil lefi machshavto, and therefore he's just summarizing now. And therefore, this is the reason why Chazal wrote many of the agaditas and many of those types of teachings. They wrote them in a way that it is distanced from the minds of the fool, that he doesn't even pay attention to it. Bein roy lismo chachisaron al drashahu. If you do find something that sounds very very strange to you, certainly don't attribute the strangeness to the Chazal. You should attribute the strangeness and the lack of understanding to your own mind. And if you're reading something and it's just very hard to accept it at face value, it just sounds so crazy and wild. You should be amazed that you didn't really chop the deeper teaching. There's obviously something deeper there and you didn't chop it. A person should be amazed. He should be amazed at his mind and he didn't understand it. That something which is true is right now betachlo sarichok. It's so far to him; it doesn't make any sense to him, even though he knows that it's true. Because different intellects, they have different qualities one over the other, and people understand things differently. Because of the different their natures. Just like one person has a more straight thinking perspective than someone else. So too, one person can understand something deeper. And certainly, someone who understands something is in a much greater place than a person who doesn't understand it. Because one of them is called having active intellect, meaning he's actually figured it out. And the other one, it's just potential. That way, one person might look at something and see all the depth in it. Another person looks at it and absolutely means nothing. Like if I look at music sheets, I don't understand. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a bunch of circles and lines. So when there's a musician, he looks at it and he sees the melody. Al piyamayla sheyesh lam b'chachma. And that's all because of a person's chachma.